Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and let's start our time together with coming into a pause. Chances are we've been on the go in doing mode most of the day. And let's pause to drop into being. Being is what we are. And since we're joined together tonight to experience miracles, to experience shifts in perception, the only thing we need for that to come about is willingness. And we all have that, or we wouldn't be here. So in your heart, in your mind, connecting with your own sense of willingness, that desire to experience peace, to know love, and to know the truth, and offering that willingness, offering that desire to our inner teacher, that part of our own mind, our right mind, that remembers the truth. Offering that willingness to Holy Spirit and trusting that the miracle has been given. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives, and we place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. Taking a nice, mindful breath in and out, and coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Oh, all right. So I'm very excited about the reading tonight. We're going to be continuing with the theme of there being no death, of death being an illusion. We touched on this last week, and we'll continue with this week. So I am looking at, I'll give the page references if you have the Sparkle edition. It's page 469. The subheading is the incorruptible body. If you have the Course in Miracles Society edition, the original edition, this corresponds to chapter 19, subheading, it's under subheading C. Again, it's also called the incorruptible body. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's chapter 19, part 4. And under subheading C, it's the subheading I, the incorruptible body. And if anybody listening is following with the new Circle of Atonement edition, it's page 624, paragraph 3, sentence number 8. It's funny. I had a body thought earlier today. Nothing big, but just a thought about the wellness, the health of the body, and I opened to this after I had that thought, just to look at what our reading was for tonight, and I just had a laugh because this answers my question. So, the incorruptible body, here we go. From the ego came sin and guilt and death, in opposition to life and innocence, and to the will of God himself. Where can such opposition lie but in the sick minds of the insane, dedicated to madness and set against the peace of heaven? One thing is sure, God, who created neither sin nor death, wills not that you be bound by them. He knows of neither sin nor its results. The shrouded figures in the funeral procession march not in honor of their Creator, whose will it is they live. They are not following it, they are opposing it. So I'm just going to pause here with this first paragraph. And by the way, I'm reading from the Sparkle edition, so anybody who's following along in a different edition, the FIP edition, the Circle of Atonement edition, it's likely that our paragraph breaks are going to be different. So I might stop, and it seems like it's your mid-paragraph, but it's actually just the end of the paragraph in this edition. There might also be some slight wording differences, so you'll just see that as we go along. If it ever gets to be too much, you can always just listen. So this is clearly saying, number one, the subheading of this section is the incorruptible body. How often do we think of there being any truth to that, right? In this dream, it seems as though death is one of the only guarantees, or the only guarantee. And this section, the theme of this section, is the incorruptible body. So it's saying here that the ego has made sin and guilt and death in opposition to life and innocence. So in other words, in wanting specialness, in wanting to play this game of separation, this tiny mad idea that we had to experience separation meant that we were going to experience something that is not like God. And that means, what's the opposite of eternal life? Death, right? What's the opposite of peace and love? Guilt and sin. So this is the ego's dream of sin and guilt and death, and it's in opposition to what is true, to the will of God. And it says, so where can such opposition lie but in the sick minds of the insane? Ha, 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 that's us who believe in the reality of this dream and in this world. So we do, this section is going to sound kind of heavy and maybe even a little bit grim, but if you can kind of see the humor in this too, that this is trying to call out the fact that our perception is what needs healing. We're not seeing truly when we see ourselves as limited to bodies and when we think that death is real. So it says very clearly again, one thing is sure, God who created neither sin nor death wills not that you be bound by them. He knows of neither sin nor its results. So God does not know death. Truth does not know death. Love does not know death. And when we chose to forget truth and love and God, we let this idea of death come into our mind. So what we're going to be reading and reinforcing in this section again, that death and sickness are impossible. They are absolutely impossible. They are a dream. So the shrouded figures in the funeral... Oh, yes, go on.
Oh, hi, this is Meg.
Oh.
I wanted to say something. I had an experience maybe about, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, and it's still very new. And in that experience, the person that I know as me fell away. It just dropped. I can't really explain how it happened, but I wasn't there anymore. And the only thing that was there was, I don't know. I really don't know what was there. But when the person fell away, which the person to me is also tied up in the ego, all of the problems and the situations that existed that were part of my story, they still existed, but they didn't belong to me anymore. They belong to, I'll just say, Meg / me, but they didn't belong to me. And I saw clearly that the personality was fictitious, that it had no reality. And when I'm reading this passage, what I'm thinking of is that the character in the dream, the Meg / me, that's the person who has brought into guilt, death, and all of those things, but they have no effect on me because I can't tell you what I am, but I can tell you what I am not. I am not the body, and I'm not the mind. And I had that experience so clearly when the person that is talking in my head and I thought was me just dropped and fell away.
Wow. Meg, thank you so much for sharing that. I don't know how to describe it, if it was like a revelation or if it was whatever it was, but I hear the peace in your voice. I hear it. It's coming through. You always sound peaceful to me, but this is a new level of peace. And so I'm really, really touched. The Meg me, you know, the Corinne me, this small I that we all identify with, this is what the Course is teaching us that we are not. And what you described instead as me, let's think of it as a capital M me or the capital I or the capital S self, this is our true identity. And we're terrified that if we let go of the small me or the small self that we're just going to be obliterated into nothing. And yet you just described a very real experience, and again, I hear the peace in your voice. So thank you so much for sharing your example with us. That's beautiful. I'm really touched.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, and it would be the small M me, which you said, Meg, the small self that buys into the story of death and sickness is just what these last couple sentences in this paragraph are referring to, where it says, the shrouded figures in the funeral procession march not in honor of their creator, whose will it is they live. They're not following it, they're opposing it. So this small self, this small me, is something we constructed, again, to experience not God, to experience something separate from God. And what we're learning through the miracles that we experience is that we are. We are. There is no death, and we cannot be separate from love or from one another. I'm touched, Meg. Thank you so much. Any other thoughts or comments or questions so far before we move on? Okay, again, just a reminder that this is going to sound, I'm thinking of one of our participants, I don't think he's here tonight, but sometimes he's like, I remember him saying, gosh, the Course can sound so like dark sometimes, but again, it's describing the dark ego dream, because that's what it is. So let's dive into the next paragraph. So we just left off, they're not following it, they're opposing it. And what is the black-draped body they would bury? A body which they dedicated to death, a symbol of corruption, a sacrifice to sin, offered to sin to feed upon and keep itself alive, a thing condemned, damned by its maker, and lamented by every mourner who looks upon it as himself. You who believe you have condemned the Son of God to this are arrogant. In other words, I have to just pause here. We who believe that death is real, that's arrogant. That's the arrogance of the ego to think that the ego could possibly pull that off. But you who would release him are but honoring the will of his creator. The arrogance of sin, the pride of guilt, the sepulcher of separation are all are part of your unrecognized dedication to death. The glitter of guilt you laid upon the body would kill it. For what the ego loves, it kills for its obedience. But what obeys it not, it cannot kill. So two things, I want to highlight two big things in this paragraph. sort of, I guess, middle to the beginning, like latter part of this paragraph, where it says, the arrogance of sin, the pride of guilt, the sepulcher of separation, all are part of your unrecognized dedication to death. So this has been key for me, again, in starting to recognize our belief in death, our unconscious call for guilt, our unconscious belief that God is punishing, which we've talked about, I've shared before, about some of the sayings in our language, like, you know, God, if God brings you to it, God brings you through it. What is that? But that's saying that God is going to bring you to bad things. that's an unrecognized belief that God is actually not love, but that God's going to, you know, do things to terrorize us. These unrecognized pieces, this unrecognized dedication to death is what the Course, again, is also prompting us to look at with Holy Spirit as these things come up in our awareness. So it goes on to say that, again, what the ego loves, it kills, because the ego is trying to prove to us that we pulled off the separation and that the separation is real, but it clearly says here, but what obeys it not, it cannot kill. So last week we ended, in the paragraph that we ended with, it says that when we accepted the Holy Spirit's purpose in place of the ego's, we renounced death, exchanging it for life. So we've uprooted the ego, and the ego seems to still hang around only because there's still part of us that isn't sure that we totally want to let it go, but we have chosen for Spirit instead, and it's our task through our vigilance, through mind watching, to keep taking that ego stuff that arises in the mind to Holy Spirit for it to be undone. So that last sentence is just key, that the ego is nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be afraid of. So any thoughts or comments or questions so far? I know this is kind of heavy stuff. We're really diving into the death stuff tonight. Diving into the death stuff.
I'd like to share one thing real quick.
Please.
A lot of times when we're reading, and I haven't owned the Bible since 2012, but I find it so fascinating. A lot of times when we're reading Course in Miracles, scriptures come to me from the Bible, you know, constantly. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing here, he says in chapter 15, verse 56, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on the garment of incorruption, and this mortal must be immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on the incorruptible, and this mortal shall have been immortal, this mortal shall become immortal, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death shall be swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So fitting the what we're reading here. I just Googled
it. It is. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. You know, I haven't gone back really and studied the Bible after having some, you know, understanding of the Course, but I've heard many people express that doing so, starting to study the Bible after studying the Course, gives you like a whole new way of looking at it, a whole new
level of
understanding. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Corinne, years ago, I was in a Bible study group with a friend of mine, and I couldn't understand a word of the Bible. It was like they were reading Greek. I just couldn't understand it. since I've been doing the Course in Miracles, the Bible makes total sense. Well, it doesn't always make total sense, but I certainly have an entirely different way of looking at it now. And I think that's pretty miraculous.
That is. That is. Definitely. Awesome. Let's keep reading. And actually, hold on one second. Deborah, it might be your line. Your microphone, I hear like some movement. So it might be your microphone, if you wouldn't mind either maybe shifting it, or if you can mute your line, that would be fabulous. Thank you so much.
Oh, I am muted, so I don't know if it's mine.
Maybe it's not yours.
Is it mine?
It's area code 585. Yes,
yeah.
Who is that?
Okay, I'm Debbie's mom. How do I
meet my
mom?
Hi, Debbie's mom. You can press star 6. You can press star 6, and that'll mute your line. Thank you so much. Awesome, and you can press star 6 again if you want to unmute. So thank you. Okay, beautiful. So where did it? Okay, here's where I left off. You have another dedication, which would keep the body incorruptible and perfect, as long as it is useful for your holy purpose. I want to read that again. You have another dedication, which would keep the body incorruptible and perfect, as long as it is useful for your holy purpose. The body no more dies than it can feel. It does nothing. Of itself, it is neither corruptible nor incorruptible. It is nothing. It is the result of a tiny mad idea of corruption which can be corrected. For God has answered this insane idea with his own, an answer which left him not, and therefore brings the Creator to the awareness of every mind which heard his answer and accepted it. So, that first sentence really strikes me, because it's saying we have another dedication which would keep the body incorruptible and perfect as long as it is useful for your holy purpose. Then it goes on to say the body no more dies than it can feel. It's literally nothing. It says it does nothing, it is nothing. And in my edition that I'm reading from, the Sparkle edition, that it is nothing is emphasized. Nothing is emphasized. It does nothing. Of itself, it is neither corruptible nor incorruptible. So again, here's a reflection of our confusion, because we think we are these bodies. I think I am Corinne, and I think that the body is Corinne, that this is me. And yet what Meg described in the beginning of our call is just this expanded awareness that we are learning to be able to see that this small self is not who we truly are, that who we truly are is united in truth, in eternity, and in love forever. So this is big. This is big. And it talks about how God has answered our insane idea with his own. That answer is the Holy Spirit, who is our bridge back to God. Holy Spirit, that part of our right mind that remembers God. I feel moved to just go ahead and read the next paragraph here. You who are dedicated to the incorruptible have been given, through your acceptance, the power to release from corruption. What better way to teach the first and fundamental principle in A Course on Miracles than by showing you the one which seems to be the hardest can be accomplished first? The body can but serve your purpose. As you look upon it, so will it seem to be. Death, were it true, would be the final and complete disruption of communication, which is the ego's goal. And I'll pause there. When it says, what better way to teach the first and fundamental principle in A Course on Miracles than by showing you that the one which seems the hardest can be accomplished first, that this is coming to me is it's referring to that very first principle, the first 50 in the very beginning of the book. The first one is that there's no order of difficulty in miracles. Not one is harder than the other. So whether it's a paper cut or the worst possible disease that the ego can conceive of, there is no order of difficulty in miracles. They both come from a result in thinking that the separation has actually occurred, and they can both be undone in an instant. It says, too, the body can but serve your purpose. So, again, is our purpose to stay separate? Is our purpose to stay in these limited small self identities? And if so, the purpose of the body under the guidance of the ego is sickness and death. It's to prove, again, that communication can be destroyed, that we can be separate from God. But giving the body to Holy Spirit, now our purpose is awakening, and the body becomes that communication device to help us learn and teach others that we and they are not bodies. Thoughts, insights, what's coming up, what's standing out?
Well, it's kind of the workbook lesson, well, I guess it was today's workbook lesson. It talks about our function and purpose being the light of the world. So it seems to me, on a practical level, if you can just really maintain a sense of humor and relax, you're in a sense fulfilling your function. You know what I mean? Because there's got to be
Absolutely.
A practical way of doing this.
Absolutely.
I mean, these just can't be words, you know?
Right, right.
It seems to me what works pretty good is, you know, just being the observer of thoughts and, you know, constantly asking the Holy Spirit to help me forgive myself.
Yeah.
When I'm
right.
not being the observer, and when I'm buying into the craziness,
Could
I? Excuse me. I'm sorry, Paula.
No, go ahead, please.
Okay, your comment about you are the light of the world, and reference to the Bible. One scripture verse always stuck with me. You who are evil would not give your child a stone if he asked for bread. How much more would your Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask for it? Well, I was going through an incredibly anxious period. I mean, really bad. And feeling like my whole life force and everything, I just couldn't go on anymore. And I just was supposed to go teach that day. Well, I just collapsed on the floor, and I said, Father, you know that I cannot go on. You know that I cannot go on. Well, I had issues with my own father, comparing him to God, you know, how you do with your parents. Some people do, and I did. I was filled with such love, and I stood up, and every cell of my body knew that my Father loved me. And I said to myself, oh, my gosh, you know, God is love. You know, it was incredible. Anyway, as I was driving to work, suddenly everything around me was filled with light. The entire car, the entire world was filled with light. My classroom that day was incredible. I taught special needs children. I occupied myself at my desk all day. Just going over, the Holy Spirit was showing me incredible stuff. My teacher assistant was wonderful. She took care of the class, but she said to me the next day, what in the world went on yesterday? She said, I knew something was going on with you, so I left you alone. She said, these kids were loving each other and hugging each other and telling each other that they loved each other. I had a boy in the afternoon that was totally autistic, couldn't do anything but repeat words. Like if you said, do you want milk, he'd say, do you want milk? He was totally, totally normal. Totally normal.
Well, that's not surprising.
And I can remember my teacher assistant just going crazy. And I walked in the next day. I said, the Holy Spirit was in this room yesterday.
So when you said you are the light of the world, I'm telling you that is literally true. There is a power in you that can heal. Like, it wasn't my doing, but that boy was healed. The children were loving. I mean, it was incredible.
Well, this is what he's basically saying in that workbook lesson. And we can literally heal the world by choosing his purpose and function for being here. That's a great example of what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. It is. I got goosebumps as I was listening
to
you.
Me too.
It that's a perfect example of when, number one, how the Course says our sole function as miracle workers is to accept atonement for ourselves. It's not about trying to fix anybody out there. It's about when we accept the atonement or the undoing of fear in our own mind, then we can see that when we are healed, we are not healed alone. And there you go. that's exactly what you described. That's exactly what you described. Minds are joined. And your allowance of that light into your own mind, that was received by those others who were ready and willing to receive it too, which was all those kids.
Mm-hmm.
I got goosebumps.
And this is where he's saying, let me not forget my function. Let me not try to substitute mine for God's. That's when the trouble begins. Let me forgive and be happy. It's about being happy.
I was never so happy as I was that day.
It doesn't have to be.
Joy.
I mean, we can choose this on an ongoing basis. We can do that with God's strength, you know, not with ours. Let me not try to substitute mine for God's. And that's when we get in trouble, when we try to substitute our small little will for God's. I mean, you can't even put it into words. It's so wonderful.
Right. There's another sentence in the Course that happened to me. I got in the car at lunch, and I was overwhelmed with love. And there was, I don't know how it happened, but somehow I merged with God. And I was I can't even describe the experience, that my spirit and his spirit became one.
Mm-hmm.
And I cried so hard, I didn't think I'd be able to stand it. And finally I had to say, please stop, because I'm going to die if this love doesn't leave me. I said, please remove this love. And there's a section in the Course that says, union with God may occur after long dedication, but could not endure for the body, could not sustain it or something like that. And I felt that. I thought, my body cannot contain this. I'm still, you know, have a body or whatever, but this body that is experiencing this cannot contain this love. And that's because the body is a limit on love.
You know, that's really kind of interesting when you think about it, because how often do we say, enough of this, you know, I'll have a wonderful day, and then it's like, where's the drama, you know?
Right.
It's not so quite as conscious as all of that, but it seems, I never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to bring up something too. There's another place in the Course that says no one goes home alone. So we all need each other to go home. Mm-hmm. And that was a story that made me think of that. That we're all in this together, and we need each other. I know my mom's on the call, and at one point I told her, hurry up, hurry up, catch up, because I need you. And she can attest to that. She's on the call if she wants to. Thank you.
Oh, Deborah, thank you. I love that. I love that. Yes, we're doing this together. This is I can't think if it's an exact quote, but two by two is standing out to me from words as words in the course that, you know, we don't enter heaven alone. We go together. So what a helpful reminder. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Debbie's mom. I just wanted to say, yep, I do that. And it seems like I'm saying it more and more now. I keep saying, hey, Debbie, remember that? Remember when you told me? Because it seems to be very consistent where, you know, we just ramble, her and I, and we just get going, and it's wonderful. And we have such insight, and it seems like we're always on the same page now. It's really weird, mm-hmm. but I guess it's not that weird. I guess because we're constantly sharing, you know, and opening up each other and each other's perspectives. But I wanted to say that I believe, like, okay, the body is basically a manifestation of how we feel. So that's why it's not really the who we are, right? It's just a manifestation of our thoughts. And I want to say in the Bible, and I just said it the other day to Debbie, I said, when I read the Bible now, wow, it's like, it's amazing. It's so good because yes, it's all this type, this way of seeing things. I don't remember what I was just going to say. I'm sorry, but, it's a manifest,
no,
our body's
okay.
I guess is what I want to say. And that if we're thinking, you know, with the ego, I mean, if we're usually are thinking with the ego. Oh, I wanted to bring it to the heart because I really believe the heart is just it's just as important. And we have to have the head to get to the heart sometimes. But I mean, to make the willingness and the choice to get to the heart, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But the heart is where we feel, and allowing ourselves to feel the things that come up, our ego would deem them as bad or good, is so, I mean, that's where the power is, and that's where the surrendering is. Like the other speaker was saying, she surrendered, basically, and when she surrendered, and she acknowledged that she couldn't do it alone, and I've had many, many experiences like that, because I have dealt in the past with anxiety, like, unbelievable. And every once in a while, my ego brings it back. And it's really full-fledged. And I'm like, what the heck? I know better than this. I do make a comeback very quickly. And it always seems to be like just explosive, because it's just expansive. And it's better than the last time. And I actually am really grateful for those times now. Because that's when I know that I'm going to have some miracles. Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. That's so helpful. And I agree, you know, the body is a manifestation of, that there is only thoughts. You know, we are thoughts in the mind of God. And the Course teaches that the body is completely wholly neutral. It is nothing. And depending on which thought system we choose to listen to, the body will either be, again, a means for our awakening when we're choosing the thought system of the Holy Spirit, or the body will be proof that we are separate when it's being used on behalf of the ego. And so what you described about, you know, like when anxiety comes up, sort of that, I like thinking of it as temptation, because that ego part of the mind knows our hooks. It knows the things that will get us the upset the fastest. And so those opportunities, quote unquote, that the ego might throw our way as bait, we then have the opportunity to choose again when that happens. So this is totally, I'm digressing here for a moment, but for those of you, this is just a quick funny story. For those of you that have been on these calls for a while, I've used the example of the bait as like a dangling golden carrot that the ego is like hanging out in front of you for you to grab to take the bait. And I had that in my book. And my editor was like, a golden carrot? Like, who would want that? Like, that doesn't make make any sense. And it turns out it made sense to me because it was from an old video game that I used to play when I was growing up. So I changed it to like a shiny token or something like that. But I just wanted to share that with you all because I know you've heard me say that before. So quick side story. But thank you so much for sharing that. That was so super helpful.
You know, I want to say, though, real quick about the Bible. You know, that in the Bible, we are to have a long, prosperous, you know, joyous, blissful life. And that is so that we can help awaken others, of course. So if our, so we're a manifestation of our mind, but if our mind is can manifest sickness, right, in our body, and it can, we're not a manifestation, I'm sorry, the body is a manifestation, and it can also manifest the joy and the bliss and the longevity and health and, you know, prosper us. So that's all. That's where I was going with the Bible thing. And I,
awesome.
So I wanted to, okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. That was super helpful. Any other thoughts before we keep reading? Okay. Let's keep reading. I keep losing my place, and I found it again. Those who fear death see not how often and how loudly they call to it and bid it come to save them from communication. For death is seen as safety, the great dark savior from the light of truth, the answer to the answer, the silencer of the voice that speaks for God. Yet the retreat to death is not the end of conflict, for only God's answer is its end. The obstacle of your seeming love for death and, excuse me, I'm going to read that again. The obstacle of your seeming love for death that peace must flow across seems to be very great. For in it lies hidden all the ego's secrets, all its strange devices for deception, all its sick ideas and weird imaginings. Here is the final end of union, the triumph of the ego's making over creation, the victory of lifelessness on life itself. So this is interesting, right? Those who fear death see not how often and how loudly they call to it and bid it come to save them from communication. This is just another way. So this is kind of looking at the extreme end of things with death, but this is another way of looking at this is our retreat into fear, that when love comes up, and Sue, you kind of described this before, when love comes up so strongly, we can retreat from it because it feels like too much. We're not ready. We're not ready to, you know, feel it in its entirety or to know the truth. There's still part of us that just isn't ready, that wants to be this separate self. So another way of thinking about this
paragraph, like I was
to
going
me,
to be
is that retreat.
Annihilated.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? That's the fear, because we're not going to be annihilated. We can't be. It's impossible. And so any, you know, the word annihilation has come up for me before because that's been a big one for me because I used to feel that a lot in terms of anxiety. And that's just the fact that you can touch it is beautiful because, again, it becomes something to touch and say, hey, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to look at this with you. I'm willing to look at my retreat into fear. The I shared this with you all, I guess it was 2 weeks ago when I got back from the Happy Dream Retreat, that I had 9 days of intense miracles and bliss, and then I got home, and the morning that I woke up after being home, I got a cold in my nose, like I got a head cold, and that to me was a retreat into fear. I let a lot of love in. I really had some really very profound shifts, and then there was part of my mind that was like, let's retreat into fear again. Let's retreat into sickness of this head cold. So this is all this is saying, and it's not, again, anything to feel guilty about. It's just something that we are asked to look at with spirit, because this is a retreat into fear is an unconscious call to death of being afraid of love. So we just have to look at that with Holy Spirit to let that belief system be uprooted and undone.
Were you able
and
to
it's
do
saying
that?
Clear. Oh, I'm sorry. Go on. What was that?
Were you able to do that?
To
I mean,
do
did
what?
That look at it with the Holy Spirit? The
oh
the
yeah,
head
yeah. Absolutely. Every time, you know, I feel like I'm pretty aware when I retreat into fear.
Yeah.
I've used that example before of like an eyelash. When an eyelash is in the palm of your hand, you don't notice it at all. But when the eyelash is in your eye, oh, you notice it. And so now, and I know we can all relate to this, doing this work, this miracle working, mind watching work, we now are much more attuned at recognizing when we slip into judgment and to fear. So when I see myself doing that, again, it's no cause for guilt or for anything like that, but it's just an opportunity to look out at it with spirit. So, yes, I absolutely, absolutely
and,
look at it.
And I bet your head cold cleared up a hell of a lot faster than it would have had you not done that.
It was just in my nose. Like, it literally was nowhere else. I felt fine. I was just really, really stuffy. So it was extremely mild, yes, and it did not last very long.
I mean, that's a practical application. I love
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. It is. Absolutely. Absolutely. And if we believe, again, that a head cold, if I have a head cold or a paper cut or, you know, whatever it is, the belief that one is going to take longer to heal than the other is a belief to look at with Holy Spirit to let that be undone. Because the Course says, number one, the first principle, the first miracle principle, there's no order of difficulty in miracles. There's not one that's harder or anything like that.
Corinne?
So, any other thoughts? Yes.
And looking at fear or seeing fear or experiencing fear is only the dream character. It's not fear
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
So if you're experiencing
so important.
It, if you're experiencing it or feeling it, then you know that it's the dream character that's active and not
yeah.
your true self.
Yeah, and how beautiful then to know that that's the dream character and to be able to say, I'm willing to look at this with you, you know, I'm willing to look at this belief with you. And Meg, you just reminded me, my friend Craig Villarubia on his Facebook page, his description is for his page, like his, I guess, business page, instead of, you know, some people do public figure or author. His is fictional character, which I always thought that's always gotten such a laugh out of me. Because, and that's mm-hmm. what we all are, only, you know, there's part of our mind that we don't want to be fiction.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be real. But it mm-hmm. is the dream character. You're absolutely right. I love it.
Hey, Kim.
Hi, Deidre.
Hi. I just wanted to add, like, what's coming up for me is this idea that it's really like when the Course is talking about Christ vision to me is looking completely beyond the body. And so when you talked about last week about how the body is completely separate from you in the same way that Meg was talking about earlier, that she had an experience where she knew that the identity that I calls itself Meg was not the true representation of her. And so there's this line in the Course that says, unless you are thinking with God, you're not thinking at all. So in the same vein, like when we're identified with the body, we're not identified with the truth of who we are. Like it's kind of a mind bender when you're just starting out, but I look at myself like the projection of me, and I've never, even as a little kid, I've never thought that that was me. It's the most bizarre thing to describe to people, but I've just had this awareness for as long as I can remember that the hallucination, that's what David Hoffmeister calls it, is not the true representation of me.
He calls it the what? I missed it.
He calls it a hallucination.
Ah, a hallucination, yeah.
Yeah.
So. I love that. Thank you for adding that. That's such a perfect quote. The unless you're thinking with God, you're not thinking at all.
Yeah.
That's big. That
yeah.
is a big one. And that's where that workbook prompt comes in. My real thoughts are in my mind. I would like to find them, because the thoughts we think are not our real thoughts.
Right,
so
yeah.
That's perfect. I love it. Thank you, Deidre. Super helpful. And actually, my goodness, I just glanced at the clock and we only have about 3 minutes left. So I feel moved to read one more paragraph. Under the dusty edge of its distorted world, the ego would lay the Son of God, slain by its orders, proof in his decay that God himself is powerless before the ego's might, unable to protect the life that he created against the ego's savage wish to kill. My brothers, children of our Father, this is a dream of death. There is no funeral, no dark altars, no grim commandments, nor twisted rituals of condemnation to which the body leads you. Ask not release of it, but free it from the merciless and unrelenting orders you laid upon it, and forgive it what you ordered it to do. In its exaltation, you commanded it to die, for only death could conquer life. And what but insanity could look upon the defeat of God and think it real?
Wow.
Tarot pause. You know what came to mind when we were reading, Paula?
What?
Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using my body to attack myself and to separate from your love as my holy self. The body is separate from us, and we misuse it by placing these demands on it that it be this thing. The Course talks elsewhere about, you know, bait to catch another fish, all these things we do to misuse it, the demands we place on it. Paula, what are you going to say?
I just, last week you added, help me to forgive myself unknowingly.
Unknowingly.
Could you just talk about that a little bit? Because I got a little confused by that.
Sure.
I feel like I'm very conscious of, like, it's not unknowingly.
Well,
go ahead.
We are now, so we're gaining that consciousness, but there's ways still that have not yet come up in the surface of our up to the surface of our minds, you know, things that we don't realize that we do, although we are way further along than where we used to be, let's say, when we first started studying the Course. So again, the prayer from Nook, Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using blank, whatever, whoever it may be, to unknowingly, I'm getting that wrong. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for unknowingly having used blank to attack myself and separate from your love. I believe that's it, right?
Is that what I said? That's perfect, because it's the unconscious garbage
right.
that needs to come to the surface.
Right.
You're never upset for the reason you think. Thank you, Corinne.
No problem. And I'll read it one more time.
Yeah.
I feel moved to share it one more time because I just opened up Nook's email so I can read it a bit more slowly. Holy Spirit, please help me to forgive myself for having unknowingly used blank, whoever, whatever it may be, to attack myself and to separate from your love as my holy self. So I'll read that one more time. Holy Spirit, please help me to forgive myself for having unknowingly used blank to attack myself and to separate from your love as my holy self. It's good. It's like forgiveness on speed.
Now,
do you
think that would help to then generate the knowledge of what is underneath there, that these unconscious beliefs? Do you think it would help to bring about more of an awareness?
I definitely do, because what this prayer to me does is that we're loosening our hold. Prayer does a number of things, but one of the things is that we're demonstrating our willingness to loosen our hold on our perceptions and how we think things are. And by that willingness, again, that gives the opportunity when things come up, we develop this practice, this spiritual muscle, rather than judging it, of being willing to look at it with Holy Spirit. So as those things arise, and we can say, you know, what is this for? What does this show me in terms of my belief system? You know, what is this showing me? We can ask that question and see what answer comes forth, and we can always look at whatever it is with Holy Spirit, and that's what we're asked to do. Some things, I don't know, like, you know, maybe we don't have to, because the Course says you don't have to follow fear through its circuitous routes, so we don't have to get into analysis, ego analysis, that just creates paralysis, as the saying goes. But as things come up, it can be really helpful when we do have these sort of unconscious things that then become conscious, come to the surface, rather than just dismissing it. Again, the practice is to look at it with Spirit.
Yeah, it just seems like the more I use this throughout the day, the more I'm able to use it throughout the day, the more consciously aware I am of being able to turn over it. I mean, and I don't want to analyze it. I don't want to even know about it. It's just get it off of me. I just want to be happy.
Let it fall away. Yes.
No.
We just want to be happy.
Let me just do your
that
will.
That is our function.
That's it.
That's it. And that's a great note to end our call on, happiness. So thank you, everybody, so much for being here, for your contributions, for your amazing, oh, powerful, moving, goosebump shares. And I love you all. Thank you so much.
You.
Night.
Love
night,
you all.
Everybody. Good night, everybody. Thank
good night.
You.
Good session. Good night.
Bye, family.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Carla. Hi, Carla. Bye, Carla.
Bye.
Happy good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, family. Love you, too. Bye-bye.